Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday, 22nd day of August, 2011. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow is up 51 points. S&P is up a little over 2. The comp is up 2.25. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
Happy Monday.
Yes, yes, happy Monday to you as well.
Did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good. It was a decent weekend. How about yourself?
Very good. I spent yesterday afternoon enjoying Netflix. Boy, I keep going back to this Netflix thing, guys. It is probably the most undervalued resource on the planet for like $8 a month. Not with their new plan, $8 a month, you stream unlimited stuff. Now, there may be a problem with that in that maybe we spend too much time streaming stuff. And not enough time, you know, living life. I won't have that argument. I'll just say that there's so much that you can discover there, from documentaries to dramas to TV shows that you never really caught when they were on TV. A show, Life on Mars. It's about a cop who gets hit by a car in 2008, and he wakes up in 1973. And that just sounds bizarre, but the acting is incredible, the music is incredible, the storyline, the plot, it's believable, it's credible, as incredible as that may sound. Hey, if gold can be up $36 today, this guy can wake up in 1973. I'm just saying.
Yeah, gold was almost at $1,900 bucks.
Almost at $1,900, yeah. Isn't that something?
$18.99.
And boy, it's always funny every day. You roll the dice to see what the talking heads on TV are going to say about well, about anything. But for gold, now the big scroll today is, this is not a bubble. It's the real deal. You know, before it was the bubble. I've watched them move all the way across the landscape of it's this. No, wait, it's this. No, it's this. Last week, they actually came out and said, hide your gold. And now today, the big banner, it's not a bubble. It's real. Silver's up $1.38 as well.
Where's silver trading right now?
Hang on, let me see it flip back around.
I'll get it. Silver, $43.80. Alright.
Yeah, now if this thing can creep its way back up to 50, which was that all-time high, and then on this recent run-up, we didn't quite get to the all-time high, right? Didn't we miss it by just a few pennies? And I'm talking about back to the Hunt Brothers high.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we came just shy of it, and then it just tanked. And now, working its way back up. So, this is going to be really, really interesting to watch this whole thing play out. And the president is still on vacation, correct?
Yes.
Now, don't know if this is true, guys. I heard it on the radio, so you know how it is when you hear things on the radio. But supposedly, a clerk in a store in Martha's Vineyard says that the president, who's on vacation, came in the other day and bought a copy of Aldous Huxley's A Brave New World. Now, read into that anything you want. Okay. And if you've never read the book, then you probably can't read anything into it. But you could probably go on the internet and grab some cliff notes and get a pretty quick understanding of what the book's all about. But all I can say is from where I sit, the fact that our president is reading A Brave New World kind of freaks me out a little bit. Okay. Now, the fact that within a year he may not be the president, I don't want to do the whole political bit here, but I'm just saying, if any president, I wouldn't want any president reading that book. Although it's really a good book, but I don't know it's the right book for the president to read. So, any president. All right, Michael, you had a hugely, immensely, incredibly good morning in the live trading room, correct?
Yeah, we had a nice morning.
It was awesome. And so, as you're ready, I will release the screens to you,
okay.
Because I know that you have to take off kind of early today.
I have the little ones, unfortunately.
Yeah, so we'll let you
I know
get
you probably do too, right?
Well, my mom's in Georgia. Mike Reed's going in for surgery. He's going to the hospital today. He'll be having surgery this week. Keep him in your prayers. My mom is in intensive care. And you're probably going, well, if she's in intensive care, why are you not there? Well, she's in Georgia. I'm here. And she's in intensive care just not because it's like an imminent thing, but because in the room she was in before, they couldn't monitor her properly. And so we don't believe it's any kind of a life or death situation. It's just that she's older and she's got some health issues and they're trying to get her fixed up. So, but, you know, with that said, there may be the morning that, Michael, you get the phone call or the text that says I'm at the airport getting on a plane, and so...
Okay. All right. You can just let me know.
Yeah. I guess we need some kind of escape plan, some kind of... Well, I guess you would just launch the room. Oh, speaking of launching the room...
Yes.
That link... Now, the password, I asked you in a text which password worked, but when I clicked that link, the right link, it showed a different password. So I'm going to have to go in this afternoon and try to clean that whole thing up. You know, when I do that, I always run it, I test it, I click it, and something went awry somewhere.
I think the
double HTTP thing. I know about that.
Go ahead. I think go to webinar. I think the software itself, they might have had an update over the weekend or something like that, because I'm looking on different computers and I logged in on different computers and I have a different display on different computers. There's, you know, like on this one, if yours is like mine, the microphone thing is at the bottom of the list on the left, and you know, the thing that you click to mute yourself on and off. And I have another one where it's a different type of display. It's in a square, not a circle, and it's on the top of the list, not the bottom. And you know, I think they might have done an update over the weekend. And we might be feeling the pain right now.
Okay. Well, so to everyone out there, you're probably going to get another email, all your partners. I'm probably just going to go in and delete what was up there for the week. I'll figure it out. Just, you know, okay. If you have issues in the morning, email Michael or I. And Michael is now the presenter. Okay.
Yep, I just took the charts. Showing screen 2. All right. All right, so I can get started whenever we're ready here.
I'm ready, man. But, let it roll.
Okay. All right. You're ready. Here we go. Ready to go in 3, 2, 1. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Monday, August 22nd, and we're just going to go over what we did in the live trading room this morning. We had a nice day. I'll say we had we're plus 39 ticks, or just under 10 points on the ES in the first 2 hours, and we're plus 11 ticks. We were plus 12. I took a short over here a few minutes ago, but plus 11 ticks right now on the YM. Those were the only two markets we traded this morning, YM and the ES. I'll go over the trades for you. Hang on, let me blow this up if it lets me. There we go. And I'll minimize it a little bit. Now, again, the yellow arrows are the trades that I took. Orange arrows are trades that I missed. I didn't miss too many this morning. Here, I'll scroll back to the open. There we go. This is pretty much it right here. You see price broke down below the elbow, and we had a little bubble right here. All right. So I sold a pullback up to the BBC, and I took a couple points out of that. There was another little tiny bubble right here that it made on the secondary pullback to the BBC. I missed that one. That one went on for 2 points as well. It pulled back over here. Okay, and I took a break even on this trade. I entered here. There was the bubble right there. I took a break even. I think I took it over here because we started to get well inside the bands there. All right, that ended up going on to win as well, but I got a break even on that one. So I was up plus two there, break even. Over here, the same thing. We were in a strong downtrend, and I figured we were headed down to the zone down here. So I sold the little tiny bubble right there. I sold the pullback up to the BBC, and I got another 2 points there, so we were plus four there. Let's see, over here, we had another bubble right here. I didn't take this one here because it was inside the box, but I took the next pullback right over here. All right, for another plus two, so we're plus six there. Over here, we broke down below the elbow, and we pulled back up, a little bubble right there. Okay, you see it? So I sold right there. That made us plus eight. I sold over here. We had this big bubble right here, and then it got inside the zones. This was a little more risky because we got inside the zones here, and I sold it. And it went sideways there for a little bit, and I took a break even on it because it was deep inside the zone. Usually when it goes deep inside the zone like that, though, it means when it comes out of the zone, it's going to be a pretty big move. It ended up being a big move and moving in our direction, but I took a break even on it, right? You know, somewhere along the way today, I lost one tick, or I didn't make one tick. Oh, I remember. This morning, I took an entry that was off by a tick, so I put my target up one tick. Anyway, at this point, we're plus 8 points. George, I'll answer that in a sec. Right here, we had another bubble, and it pulled back up to the BBC right here. So I shorted that. That made us plus 10. All right. Over here, where it broke out of the elbow and it broke out of the bands right here, there was a short on the move down. I had, in the room, I had put this other arrow in right here, but you can't really. That one didn't work out because it didn't pull back at that point. It pulled back over here, and then that one worked out. Okay, but that was the morning on the ES. Okay, that was my morning. We had, you know, a couple of break-even trades, 5 wins, and that was it. So plus 39 ticks on it all. I think it was my first trade. I took 7 ticks for the win instead of 8. That's why we ended up with 39 instead of 40. All right, there were other trades here on these charts. I'll get to them in a minute. I want to go over the YM quickly. All right, I took a few trades on the YM this morning. We took this one right over here, the first one of the morning. I got into it a little bit late. I should have been in sooner, and then I moved my stop up, and I got just a small profit on it, about three or four points. We had some divergence here, so I sold it on the divergence. This right here was the pull away from the BBC after the bearish cross, so I should have been selling in here, but I missed it. And this is a very high probability trade. For all you guys that are watching right now, those of you who are not partners, you should be partners. This right here is a high probability trade. And you know, when you have divergence down here and it pulls back up on the first pullback after the cross, it's a very high probability trade, and that one worked out really well. 60 points or so. 40 points, I'm sorry, 40 points or so. Okay, then we came over here, and this right here, this trade here, I explained to everyone when it was happening. I said, when you get a cross in the middle like this of the combo, in the middle means in between oversold and overbought, the price will usually run in the direction of the green and white lines. Okay, so we got that cross over there, and I was waiting for a close down below the MA1. So I took the close right here, and I made 20 points on that in about a minute, less than a minute. All right. Now over here, I took a divergent short right here, and I lost 10 points on it. All right. It went up and it hit the BBC, and then I was waiting for a close down below the MA1. I took that short as well, and I ended up taking a break even on it. It chopped around in here for a little while. Dwayne and I were both short in this area, and it chopped around in here for a little while. So I got a break even on this one, and I lost 10 on that one. I made 20 on that one, and I made about 3 on the first one. And those were the trades that I was taking. I took a short over here on this pullback right here a few minutes ago, and I lost a couple of ticks on it. That's why I have right now, you can see, plus 11 there, and plus 39 over here on the ES. Okay, plus 39 on the ES. Now, in the middle chart right here, I want to point this out if I can. Hold on a minute. In this middle chart, and for some reason, my computer's not reacting like it should. Here we go. All right. This recording software that I have just hogs up a lot of memory. Now let me minimize it so I can just point to things on the screen without scrolling around. All right. Now this morning, after we had a bearish cross, we had a pullback up right here on the 10K. This would have been a nice short opportunity right here. All right. We put in a lower swing, did it again. The cycle is still red. The DMT is still red. We had a cross into a red DMT with a green trend strength line up here that suggests a 5 to 6 point move on the downside. We got a 15 point move on the downside. Something like that. A 10 point move. We just had a bullish cross here on the 10K. All right, so we would look for that to come back down and bounce off the BBC and keep moving up. But we have this resistance dot right up above us, so we're not going to be looking to take a trade there. In the overnight session, I'll point this out quickly. There was this huge gap up right here. All right, big gap up. Price came back down, and I was telling everybody when price was over here, I said, it's likely to come back down, test the line in the sand, and go through to the weekly trading zone. That's exactly what it did. And then it bounced up. I was saying we'd probably get a 2 point bounce off of that. We did. From 34 up to 38, we got a four point bounce off it. Then it continued going down. Once it fell through the zone, it just dropped right down. A nice 12 point drop right there. Now it's coming back up. This right here looks pretty bearish to me. You know, this bar right here, it's on a 7 minute. So there's 3.5 minutes left in this bar. But if this bar closes right here, just like it is, or even more red on the bottom, that's pretty bearish, and I would expect it to move down and put in lower lows. Okay, the 2100 tick. This morning there was one sandbox trade on the 2100 tick. I didn't take it. there was a reason I didn't take it. I don't remember why. Oh, because I was already short from the 4 tick range. But it was a pullback right up here. Alright. It's a pullback right here. We had a red MA1, red cycle, and a red DMT. Price pulled away from and back up to the MA1 for the short right there, and a drive right down into the weekly trading zone. Okay. And that, my friends, was the morning. So I am going to shut off this. All right, recording is done. All right. Anybody have any questions? George, you had a question. Was there a short at 10:56? You mean on the ES 4 tick range, right? 10:56 my time. Right in here, it was right in the weekly trading zone. That's why I didn't take that one. It was right inside the zone. It would have been a perfect short. Look at the bubble down here. It was a nice bubble. Pullback right up to the BBC. So it looked great, but it was right in the zone, so I didn't take it. Okay. What's today? It's today the 21st, 22nd. 22nd. Got it. All right. Any other questions? Anyone?
Apparently not.
Is there a long right now on the 4 tick? Let's see, Bruce. Yes. Yeah, there was one over here. This is the second bounce with the same bubble, but I'd say yeah. This was the first bounce with this bubble down here. Let me blow it up a little bit so you can see it a little better. Okay, this was the first bounce for this bubble, so that's the one that would have worked on. This one's a little higher risk because it's the same bubble. It didn't pull all the way back and then move up, but it still should work out. Okay. What are the other markets and what are the other charts suggesting at this point? We don't have overhead. 31 is topside on the 10K. I believe this is also a long opportunity there. It is. There's
it
resistance
is.
Right up above us on the 10K.
Yeah, the cycle's a little overdone on
yeah.
the upside. So I would be cautious of that. 2100 is positioning itself for a short. And so you got the 10K, you got the cross, you got the pullback, but you got that cycle issue. And yeah, I would hold off for a moment personally, just
all right.
Let the market,
yeah, the YM's,
it's gonna reach up to the
YM's zone. Overbought here. I would wait for some divergence here on the YM, see how everything's all together here. Remember, in this combo, this red and blue line is the same as the cycle. It's the same line as the cycle. So you can tell when things are overbought and not overbought. Now, if you did take this, great. You would have been taking it from 25 up to 27, probably 24.75 up to 27. If you did take it and you didn't get filled at your target, I would take the risk off. We didn't put in a higher swing, so I wouldn't look to go long again in this direction. Okay. But the first trade was right there. If you wanted to keep going on the same bubble, the second trade was right there. Okay. But that is it. Let's see. Yeah, anybody that's in here that has taken the trial and not become a partner, you guys are missing out. Wouldn't it be nice to start your day up 10 points after the first couple hours? All right. So we're going to wait.
And the double, the benefit here is it's not about just you coming into some trade calling room and have some guy call out the trades, which you try to mimic and copy, and then you never understand the why behind the trade. Okay. here, you not only have the opportunity to see the trades live as they unfold, but we talk about the trades. Why we take the trade, why it's important, why we might step aside on a trade, don't take a trade. So you're not just getting fed trades, you're actually learning how to trade. Okay? So, and these are skills that you'll take with you. Once you learn these basic skills about trading, you'll take them with you for the rest of your life, wherever you go, whatever market you choose to trade in, whatever time frame you choose to work in. Everything that we teach and show you, you can lay that on a one-minute chart, you can lay it on a quarterly chart, because it's the same kind. It's how the market works. Okay, it's like putting on some fancy reading glasses and you look at the chart and go, oh, so that's how that works. Oh, I didn't see that before. No, you didn't, because you didn't have glasses. But once you see it, then you own it. See, that's the thing. Once you own it, then you see it, and then you really own it. So, if you haven't taken the free trial, you can easily do so. Go to cfrn.net/apply. If you've already taken the free trial and you frittered it away, well, then send an email to secondchance@cfrn.net. Or you can call Dwayne, not me, the other Dwayne, at 573-224-3366. 573-224-3366. And you can be in the live trading room tomorrow morning at the opening bell, and you'll be able to see what everyone that was in there this morning was able to see. Now, can we predict that we'll have a killer morning tomorrow like we had today? Nope. All we can do is go in there tomorrow and do the same thing we did today, and that is that which we know, that which we understand, that which we teach, period. That's just kind of all there is to it. No mystery, no smoke and mirrors, no, none of that. Just, hey, this is the truth about markets. This is how markets work. This is how you can capture some points out of the market when the market makes a move. There you go. In the old nutshell.
In a nutshell.
Now, we did have... Are you finished there, Michael?
I am.
Well, you know what? Yes. Since you've got charts up in front of you, we'll do this real quick, and then...
Okay.
Because I know you've got a Russell chart, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. For those of you that follow us on Twitter... let me go over here. And last night we did pretty good. Our first tweet of the evening was the Russell E-mini on Globex, and that tweet, you can go to the feed at CFRN. Consider selling 655 on a stop. And if you got a Russell chart handy there, Michael.
I do. It's up. Okay. What time was the tweet?
The tweet was early on last evening. I'm showing 13 hours ago.
Okay. So 9:30 last night. So in here. Yep, right in here. Let me bring it up.
So 6:55 on a stop.
Forex doesn't close down. 6:55 on a stop. So it was up here somewhere when that was tweeted.
Yeah.
13 hours ago, it would have been right about here. And Dwayne had said, consider selling 6:55 on a stop. I'm going to put an arrow that right in there.
Okay. And so ultimately it dropped down to 6:49. But I sent a follow-up tweet. Well, let's go through the different markets. The Russell, we said consider selling 6:55 on a stop. And then on the Dow, we said consider selling 10.840 on a stop. At the same time, we said that.
Yep. All right. So that's where it was on the Russell up here. Okay, 6:55 on a stop, and you know, within a few hours it dropped down. In about 5 hours it dropped down from 6:55 to 6:48.
Yeah.
We'll say, let's just say 6:49. That's $600 a contract. All right. Let me minimize this one, and we'll go look at the Dow.
Now, all the right. Dow was consider selling 10840 on a stop.
10840, and that
right
within,
at the same time. Yeah, I said these all three tweets went out within one right behind the other, because all the charts were setting up the same.
Okay. All right. So that was I'm just trying to find it down here.
You're right about there.
Yeah, it would have been right in this range right here, 10840. Right.
Yep. Then it just fell off the cliff. Boom.
Yep. Right in here. 10840. This is the cliff it fell off. Alright, so right in here is when he tweeted it, and he said consider selling 10840. And it dropped all the way down here to this magical level down here at 10. Alright, this mysterious level I'll call it, not magical.
There you go.
Wow, look at the YM just took a big tank right there. 10713. Alright, that was the YM.
And the ES final one was sell 1126 on a stop. So these were three sell on a stop tweets that went out back to back.
1126, and that was right in. Hang on, let me put that out. I don't want to look at it on a four tick range. I want to look at it on something like this one.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, 11:26 on a stop.
Yep.
Hang on, I just want to get in the right spot. All right, yeah, I think it was in here somewhere. You're saying sell 11:26 on a stop, so that would have been a drop down below here.
That's not the right time though.
No, the time would have been over here somewhere that you actually tweeted it, right?
Yeah, I'm right there.
Yeah, it would have been right in here. Right in here.
Right there, 11. Yeah, 11:26, right there.
Yep.
And it dropped down to 11:11.
11:11.
Yeah. Okay. So those were the tweets and those were the potentials, but 10 hours ago, in other words, 3 hours after the tweets went out, I tweeted. The YM trade is up 60 points, the ES trade is up 6 points, the TF trade, the Russell is up 4 points, lock your profits. Okay, so we almost caught the exact bottom on that. Well, no, we didn't. I tweeted this out prior to the bottom getting hit on those, but I always like to err, if possible, on the conservative side. So we had a great night tweeting. 60 points YM, 6 points ES, 4 points Russell, if you were to actually, you know, take those tweets, execute them. Is past performance any guarantee of future results? Absolutely not. I could tweet stuff out tonight and it might all go in the toilet. That's the truth about the markets. See, I'm not going to try to waylay you and you know, lull you into some sense, a false sense of complacency that, oh man, if this dude tweets it, it's going to work. If you go back and look at the tweet history, there's 700 and something of them. It's a pretty good record. It's by far not perfect, but it's pretty good. And so I don't tweet every night. It's just when I happen to look at the chart and I see something that really stands out and looks kind of important, then I'll tweet it. Okay? But just because I tweet it, yes, it means I think it's important and has potential, but no, it doesn't mean it's a lock that it's going to be profitable. I don't have the ability to know what's going to happen next. I know what I think might happen next, but I don't know what's going to happen next. Just like with Michael this morning, he had a great morning in the live trading room, but with each trade that he took, he didn't know what was going to happen next. We use high probability setups to put on trades, okay, and then we assume the risk and we let the market do what the market's going to do. If it goes to our target, we'll take profit. If it goes to our stop, we'll take our stop. That simple. And that seems to sound like it's, you know, I'm oversimplifying the whole thing. Because trading, as we all know, can be this really is this really immensely complicated, convoluted thing. But it really is, because we really make it that way. Because probably most of you out there, if you're not using our charts and our indicators, you probably got 50 zillion indicators. They may not all be on one chart, but you got them. And every day you get up, you look at a different chart, you put on a different indicator, you're seeking, searching, hoping, looking. You're going to fine-tune it, and one day you're going to nail it. One day you're going to come up with that one time frame and that one set of indicators combined that gives you trading perfection. What a painful journey that is, guys, ladies. It's a painful, painful journey. And I'm going to tell you where that journey ends up. Eventually, that journey ends with you saying, trading doesn't work, it's not real, you can't really make money trading. Or, I'm now broke and I have to go back to work. Or, I have to stop seeking perfection and be willing to put on high probability trades. Know that not all of my trades are going to result in a profit. That when I'm not correct about the trade I've chosen, that if it goes the other way, I'm going to honor my reasonable stop based upon current market conditions and or whatever criteria I've established for my stop loss. If you can get into that groove, you can actually enjoy the journey. The other way ends with a crash and a burn, period. And you would think that, you know, crashing and burning once would be enough, but for a lot of people it's not. A lot of us have to crash and burn a couple times. So, you know, that's just the truth about trading. You can go anywhere on the internet and have people blow smoke up your chimney. You come here, you're going to get stuck with the truth. So, all right. I bummed everybody out, Michael. We had a great night, a great morning, and then I bum you out.
All right.
That's just me. I have a quirky personality, what can I say?
That's our negative sales pitch.
Yeah. We'll use reverse psychology on them. That's it.
That's it, reverse psychology. No, well, to sum up everything that Dwayne just said, you know, whether it's our stuff that works for you or somebody else's stuff that works for you, once you find something that works, stop looking. Don't keep looking for other stuff, all right? Essentially, that's what he's saying. If you keep looking for other things, keep looking for that holy grail, my friends, you are going to be broke. That said, I am looking here at a Forex chart. Okay, this is a GBP-USD four-tick range. One of the fellows in the room here just asked me to take a look at it. And here it is. First time I've ever really looked at it with this whole setup on it. Okay. Now, what I'm looking at here, Dell, is just the break of the elbow for the most part. All right. You see right here the elbow broke and moved up. You can see right here the elbow broke and moved down. It just did it right here in front of us. The elbow broke and we had to move down. I'm not a Forex trader, but I can see the patterns. All right, I'm sure you can too. I don't know, you know, I know there's a spread and all that with Forex, and I know that, you know, there's money to be made here. For those of you folks who want to trade different markets in different hours, I think the risk, I mean, the margin requirements on Forex are actually less than they are on futures. And and there's a, you know, there's a bunch of opportunity. You can see every time the elbow breaks here, there seems to be good movement. These pullback trades that close back down below the MA1, you know, here the elbow breaks, that's good movement. To me, that looks good movement. What is that? 1645.99 down to 1645.61. So what is that? 30 micropips? Something like that? 38 micropips?
Something like that.
Anyway, that's what I wanted to point out. All right, because Dell, you asked, and I think, you know, we haven't pursued the whole Forex part of this, but yeah, there's definitely markets to trade in the evening. You know, we could, this was the 6E chart, so let me just go to the 6E. What time zone are you in?
Crude is quite tradable in the evening, Dell, and overnight, but it requires big margins, so that's an issue.
All right. Well, you're in the same time zone as me. So when we look at this, you know, you can see in the evening or early morning, you'll see the 6E is tradable as well. All right. It's not. It's a little messy in here in the later evening, but once it gets going in the early morning, you know, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, that's when the 6E becomes tradable. That's the euro. If you just want to trade futures, if you want to do Forex, then you know there's plenty of things in Forex that you can trade at that time. The one that I was looking at was the pound pound dollar pair. Okay. Let me just minimize that. All right, I got stopped out on this trade right here. That's my first stop out today on the ES anyway. All right. All right. David has been waiting
patiently.
Patiently.
Very patiently. All right, let's take a short break and go there.
All right, sounds good.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll free 1-866-928-3310. And we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man who is so charming, his friends call him Lance Charmstrong, but we call him David Williams from PageTrader.com.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning, David.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, David. How are you guys today?
Good.
All right, so far so good.
Well, good. Sounds like you had a nice day.
We did.
Yeah, we did this morning.
Until Dwayne had to wreck it all with that little speech. But up to that point, it was really good.
Yeah, it was great. Yay, we made 10 points this morning.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
That's what you got to remember.
No, that's the transparency of Dwayne, and that's actually a good trait. It's very realistic. So,
yes.
Glad to see that. So, Dwayne, how was your weekend?
Well, you know, compared to yours, David, it was pretty quiet.
Really?
Well, I'm assuming you
had know about my weekend.
Well, I only know that you had a seminar and that it was probably very busy. And
we did have a seminar over at the Mirage Hotel this weekend, and I have to tell you before I tell you a little bit about it that the people that came to this seminar were so bloody nice. I mean, seriously, that if the world was filled with people like this, there would be no world problems. Because everybody, really, I'm serious, they were all so nice, genuine, asking really good questions, really wanted to learn. I was blown away by how friendly and nice they were. And I think part of it, to be honest, is that a number of them came from the radio program, from some other sources where they had heard us or talked. You know, it just there was some camaraderie there perhaps already, but they were really, really nice people. And we had a really nice large room, much larger than the last one, and we had a section for people to eat at rather than having them eat right at their tables that they were learning at. So it was just really, it was very nice, and we went through a lot of it, and I'm Just like anything else, I get better when I've been doing this for a while and I've gotten better at teaching Reflected Wave. So we just had a great time. I felt wonderful about the whole thing. And I appreciate everyone who came, and we'll probably be in contact with, I'm sure, with everybody that went there. I do want to mention this. We did have, which is somewhat unusual. It's, in fact, it's quite unusual. We had a woman trader. I'll only mention her by first name. Her name was Allison. She's from Canada. And she came because a longtime friend of mine who recently moved out of America because he doesn't like America anymore, doesn't believe in it, for whatever his reasons are, he moved to Cabo San Lucas and somehow was sitting either at a bar or I don't know where, but had run into this woman and had mentioned me. And on a great deal of faith, the woman just went online and got herself a seat and showed up. And so she's a she trades in mining stocks, which I'm sure some of our and some of your listeners may have some experience in. So that was unusual, because virtually other than alumni, people who've trained before, there are really very few women involved in this, and you really get a chance to see that. I'm sure the majority of your subscribers and trainees are men.
There are. We do have a couple of women, but you're right. Yeah, the majority are men.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure to see, because there's women in every type of industry, including trading, but it is a real pleasure to see them, you know, take the plunge and come and show up. They're in a room full of men. I can imagine it probably feels a little odd for them on some levels. But that was a nice surprise. Anyway, so we had a wonderful time. The hotel is beautiful. The food is just fantastic. And so it went very well. And I'm looking forward to, for those that are online this morning or listening on your program, Duane, I'm looking forward to speaking to all of you whenever you're free to you know, continue on and continue learning. There's a lot I can show that, you know, we do the training there, but there's a lot more that I can give in detail for people, sort of because it is so objective. It doesn't require a special kind of an eye, but there's more that you can do with it than just what I showed, and I will go into that with people when they you know, call in and set up a little time for them and I to get online one-on-one. So it was great, and I feel energized today and back at work, and really enjoyed myself. I don't know that I've met anybody in these seminars that have been sour apples. Some of these people, as you know, Duane, and some of your people are from very far distances away. Right. We had a fellow that had come in from Kuwait, which is a 27-hour flight. That's a long, long time to travel to get here, a school teacher. Another person was from Portugal. So a good portion of the room was from outside of the United States. And these people are, you know, a lot of them are just exactly like we are, meaning all of us that live here. They're just looking for some way to sort of finish their education and training so that they can, or in trading, so that they can get on to really putting together some good trades. And I've said so many times on the program, and I won't hammer it today, but I did make my point to them that I've made so many times here, which is that I utilize every technique I have almost to not trade. And what I'm doing is I'm waiting for the high probability setup, the one that I really recognize instantly, like, wow, I really like that. That's what I do before I put on. I wait for that type of setup before I trade. I don't necessarily worry. I really don't at all worry about making money on any specific day unless the market is in a really easy position to go get it. I'm looking for easy pickings, low-hanging fruit, so to speak. Others are looking for different types of trades. But one of the things that really was a treat at this seminar that no one else has seen was Michael Z. He showed up, and So he was there. He stayed the whole first day from the very start all the way to the end. He ate lunch, and several people, about eight people, were at his table asking him questions. I didn't hear all the questions and answers, but he was his plain old ordinary self. He looked strangely to me. He looked strangely younger than he did last time I saw him. It looked like he's in very good physical shape. He just looked younger. He's about 40 years old, and he looked really good, tanned and relaxed. And so everybody got a chance, for those of you who don't know who he is, he's a big trader out of Texas and Colorado, and trades a huge number of E-mini contracts in a day. And he came out and sat with, and he's been on the radio program as well, and sat with us and chatted with us. And so for those of you who got a chance to talk with him, I hope that there was some value gotten in that. I certainly get a value out of him, which is that it really inspires me to increase the size of my trading. That's his big thing, is size. And so we all got a lot out of it. It was a lot of fun to have him there. He's very humble. He introduced me at the start. He was very comfortable getting up and talking to everyone, and very low-key. You know, I just want to tell this. I think I told this to somebody there, but afterwards, he wanted to stay for the second day, but he couldn't get a private jet. He couldn't get a flight on. He wanted to get this private. A friend of his, who, like I told you, everybody he's around is big stuff, and the guy couldn't do the private jet thing, fly him out to come out to Las Vegas to pick him up. So he had to get back. Otherwise, he would have been able to stay all through Sunday, and then his friend could pick him up right when we were done. And that didn't work out, so he had to leave. Anyway, he's very humble, and so we went to dinner afterwards, and Jody was there. So it was just him, myself, and Jody. And we went to a dinner, and of course, I'm very amenable. I offered to pay for the dinner, and no, Michael said, no, don't worry about it. I said, no, Michael, please, I'll put it on the business. We'll write it off because this is a business thing and all that. No, he paid. So we're sitting there, and he pulled his card out, and he put it down sort of face down on the table, and there was kind of a metallic shine coming off of the card that I hadn't seen before because he had turned it upside down, and I picked it up, and it was an American Express black card. And for those of you who know or don't know what that is, for people who spend really large sums of money, American Express will search you out and get you this card. And it has requirements on it. The first requirement is that you have to spend $250,000 a year on the card in order to get it. That's what you have to spend. So just so classic, this is what shows you the quality of the guy. Most people who are in his position, or a lot of people that would be in his position, would be only too happy to brag or to push it on you about, the money they have and this, that, and the other. Michael is definitely not that way. And so when it came time and he had convinced us that he was going to pay the bill, and we really did want to pay, I mean, he's a guest. He flew out on his own and, all that. And he's doing the seminar as a courtesy to people who have heard him on the radio and a courtesy to us. And so the whole thing was on him. He wouldn't let us pay for any of it. But I really love the way that he put the card upside down so that no one else would really see that it was a metal credit card, American Express black card. So that's the kind of guy he is. He's very low-key. Everything around him is really big. his cars are big, his homes are big, and he does it all from trading. He really is, that guy that you sometimes read about in the magazines. This is the only one I've ever known. I've been around a lot of traders, and I know some people that have made some decent money, but he trades in 15 and sometimes as many as, now he told us, 30,000. He has had a couple days where he's actually moved 30,000 contracts in a day. And his size is enormous for in comparison to anybody else that I've known. But he's very low-key about it all and almost is strangely simplistic about it all. And one of my friends, Greg Howe, the guitar player, mentioned to me, because I joked to him about it, and Greg said, and I think this may be true, that his kind of perceiving, Michael Z's perception of things, might be very simple. And when he describes, when he says things like, I start small and I worked my way up, and we're all kind of, in answering questions about how he got to the state that he's in, there may be more to that than what we're giving credit for, because he always talks that way. And for the people who were at the seminar and on the radio program who asked him questions, they very well may remember some of his answers being surprisingly simple, that there's no complexity to them at all. In fact, there's no content, honestly, to much of them. He's not hiding anything. He's just simply saying it as he sees it. So if you did hear those types of answers from him, if you're at the seminar, let's, you know, toy with them a little bit and think about them rather than, you know, being too quick, because I know I get funny with him all the time, and I make fun of his, you know, his very simple and often starkly direct answers to how he does what he does. And like I've joked about before, if you say, well, how do you know when the market's going to go down? Well, if the market, you know, starts to go down, I short it. If the market tends to go up, I buy it. He'll say things like that. And it seems like there's no information in that at all. And yet, it may very well be true. And I've had numerous conversations with him. I've given up on, you know, in a sense, trying to get him to describe what he's doing. And in many cases, it's difficult. Even if you had to describe what you're doing, and you know what you're doing very well, it sometimes is difficult to put it into a concise format and get it out to somebody. So anyway, he was there, Dwayne. We had a great time with him, and he was very cordial to everybody, and he met, I think, just about everybody that was there.
Well, that's good. I'm really glad he made it this time.
So am I. It was really a pleasure. I do want him back on the radio. I told him that he's a radio star all over the world. He just doesn't know it. And it would be a real pleasure to have him back on the program whenever you see fit, whenever you'd like to have him.
He can talk, and Greg Howe can play backup.
Yeah, Greg can play guitar in the background. Michael can talk, and I'll play rhythm guitar to back up Greg's lead solos when Michael takes pauses, you know, in talking about trading. Anyway, so that's it. We had a great time. And if you want, let's move on to today's S&P.
Okay.
And see where we are. I don't know where we are, so that's our show. Good night. No. Let's take a look. We this morning we bottomed at 11:19, and we started out advancing. Very important for those of you who are in reflected wave, a very important top was put in, and the market sold all the way off down and did what we call a Mona Lisa type of trade. And they're bouncing off of that bottom now. We attempted to buy it a short while ago at 20, and the market recently just made a swing low at 21, and now they're completing the advance that we would have normally expected from that bottom, at least the trading target that we would have expected. Longer term, if you want to take a minute, we've done this many times, but let's just review real quick. We have a quarterly top that the market is declining from right now. This is a reflected wave quarterly top, and we're in the first quarter after that top, so the market is moving down, and we also are finishing the month of August soon here. Today is the 22nd, so we are looking for the month of September to be a bottom. In order for September to be a bottom, although this isn't a guarantee, but in order for it to be a bottom, obviously we have to double bottom with August or go lower into September. So once that's in, then we would be looking for our longer term forecast is we'd be looking for about a 3 month advance minimum off of that low. And there will be some really good trading if you can take advantage of that on the long side. It's really important to me to know what the longer term outlook is, because they're hidden in the longer term outlook are some forecasts about what the market's going to do. And how long it's going to do it for. So, you know, once we get that September bottom in, I think there's some real good trading coming here. It's possible that it'll come 1 unit early. We've talked about that many times, and they have done quite a bit of price movement in the current month on the downside. My preference would be to see September make a slightly lower low. Everybody who was at the seminar knows why September will mark a bottom. They know why the quarterly top marked the top, and on and on and on. But my preference is that I'd like to see that on-time bar get put in. If they don't do that, there will be some hint about that, the way that price is moving, and we'll probably get some setups on smaller time frame charts like weekly and daily to get us into something on the upside. One of the things I'd like to do with this, if they do make a September bottom, is I'd like to sell naked puts below the market, something that most brokers would shy away from or have you shy away from. But it's really no different than simply being long the futures. It's almost effectively the same thing. And in fact, the futures go for you and against you tick for tick, and those options actually don't. So it seems strange to me, but brokers will often sound strangely uncomfortable with naked options, but every futures position you have is a naked position as well. So I'm not sure why options are scarier to them. There may be a really good reason. I just don't know what it is. I've never heard what the reason is. I've asked this question before. Why are they so frightened of naked options, or more frightened of naked options when they don't move tick for tick with the market? And futures do, and futures are naked as well. Naked meaning you don't own the underlying asset, nor do you have a hedge against your long or short position. You're just naked in the market. That's what naked means. You're net long or net short. That means that you're just directionally looking for a move up, or you're looking for a move down. And you don't have any other counter position that would balance that position or hedge that position. Maybe Bert, if he's around, can explain why options are more scary to brokers than futures are, but they sure seem to be. Either way, unless I'm missing something, yes.
Hey, it's Bert.
Oh, I didn't recognize you. Yes, hi, Bert. Go ahead.
The reason is a lot of times, as you know, the short option premium, the guys that are selling the calls from puts,
yes,
the margins are usually less than the futures margin to hold it overnight. So let's say, for example, you were considering that strategy and you wanted to sell, I don't know, maybe the September 1050 put, okay? The margin attached to that might be $1,000 or $1,500. So what ends up happening is you'll have clients that don't have the full margin.
Uh-huh.
They'll end up selling calls and puts because they know their margin's going to be less. So they're assuming the same risk as someone that's long or short. They usually have less money, or they're leveraged up almost twofold.
So it's really a margin issue for the brokerage. Okay, but my question to you is that every time I've sold naked, which has been for the last like 17 years, the broker always charges me full futures overnight margin because I'm selling a call. I'm selling a put. And they're going to charge me $25,000 on the overnight.
They actually shouldn't do that. Actually, what they're doing, just so you know, is that the way they margin options is through SPAN.
Yeah.
SPAN. And that's an exchange minimum. It's usually based on, let's say, one or two standard deviations away.
Right.
And what'll happen is the individual clearing firm will raise the margin above and beyond that SPAN level in the event that the market does move back and forth. It's just a risk thing.
Yeah, but isn't go ahead. I'm sorry.
The margin department's adding premium to that.
Okay. My just again, not to counter that so much, but SPAN is used a lot to, which it's a system to measure what the risk is and really what your net position is and what your margin should be. So if you have a number of positions on, SPAN is a computer program that'll take a look, for people that don't know, they'll take a look at your whole position and they'll figure out an appropriate margin for it. As an example, if you had sold a call, you might be margined at $15,000, let's just say, on the overnight position. But if you also sold a put,
right
now, that means that your margin is going to be reduced because the market can't go both ways. It can only hurt you on one side. And so you're not going to be doubled that margin. Right. You're not going to have double the margin because SPAN's going to come in and it's going to say, well, your real margin is, your net position is this, and
right.
so on. My selling of these calls has always been naked. So they've always just given me the overnight margin, which is always the same as the futures.
Right.
So I'm not sure if that's just because they're scared of me in particular, or not that I'm some big trader.
It's just done on an individual level, yeah. Like a FCM level. It's not targeted at you or any one person. But
yeah. Got Williams on the line. Let's do the 25. If that's Williams, yeah, 25, absolutely. I'm tired of chasing this guy for the money.
Yeah, right. But yeah, it's just something they add to it.
Okay.
This is from a risk and precautionary standpoint because, as you know, David, as the market moves two and four, two and, you know, moves
right.
against you and for you, your margin adjusts. You know, it could decrease, it could be bumped up. So what it sounds like to me is that they're just saying, look, we're just going to charge you the full amount. So in the event that the market does go against you, you're not going to be surprised with a big margin bump. Because if you run the span models, you'll see there'll be a net delta, right?
Yeah.
My poor Phyllis is on minus one. And then they'll spit out a margin. But what's also in there is that it'll calculate your margin if the market moves one, two, three, four standard deviations away.
Right.
And it'll kick on an additional margin requirement.
Sure.
And usually it'll charge you the more just to play on the safe side. So.
Okay. So, well, there you are.
Thirdly, it's a little bit harder to get in and out of the options.
Than it is out of the futures, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
so really the two big things is that the answer to the question that I asked before is why are brokers so frightened of this? And the two answers are, number one, it's that they don't margin the options naked with the same, for whatever reason, if they're so frightened of them, I don't know why they aren't margined higher, but they don't margin them as high as an overnight futures position, A, and B, options can be much more illiquid and difficult to get a fill and get out of. And when the market is a fast market, I would assume that the options guys have the license to steal down there, and they can fill you at just about any price they want, which almost, in some cases, might net out to as if the thing moved tick for tick against you. By the time they filled you, it almost looks that way.
Right.
So,
in fact, we had the flash crash.
Yeah.
If you looked at, I was watching the S&P options, the many ones that are electronically traded, the bid offers disappeared.
Really?
There's really no market. And
yeah,
so what you were doing is if you were trapped, you were trying to get out synthetically. You know, you're like, all right, it should be priced at this. All right, you know, boom, 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 boom. You start pounding up orders. So, yeah, they disappeared. So there is some inherent risk with it. It's just, that every FCM has their own little thing of calculating that stuff.
Yeah. Well, just for me, whenever I've done it, when I talk to brokers about it, new brokers about it or anybody that has not dealt with it recently, they all have a big, you're selling options. I'll tell you what, let me get you over to the front desk and we'll get you over to another broker.
A lot of FCMs
won't take them.
They won't take those accounts.
Yeah. Yeah.
They say, you know what, if you're, because there's a lot of CTAs and professional money managers that are just selling premium.
Yeah.
And if you get a bad, you get a bad move in the market, that could just, they don't want the debit risk.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. No, I gotcha. Okay. Well, that's good. That's a great answer. I appreciate you telling us that. That does clarify it some, especially the liquidity thing and the margin. Both those things. Margin isn't as big. They have to raise the margin on you. There's just more headaches for them to have you manage the position.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Anyway, one of the things that was interesting that I learned this weekend from Michael is that he has a guy that works with him that puts option positions together. He's very, very bright. It's almost like a walking book of option strategies and risk and reward. And, option strategies can be very complex. They can be very useful in the market. And there's a lot of things to consider. I mean, some people are just geared for thinking this way, and this guy is. And so Michael told me that we could use him if we come out, as an example, with a free trade that at least Michael wants to use him for a free trade in order to put on very sophisticated options positions that would take advantage of that. Something a little different than what we're doing, Bert, you and I, where you buy a call or we buy a put to take advantage of a net put long or short move in the market. But they've got other things they want to do with it, and I'm going to tell you what those are the next time we have a free trade and see what they did with it, because he does a lot of different things to hedge the risk and this and the other, and they do it in size, et cetera. And, I'd be very interested to see what they do with it. And I'll report back on the radio program and to you, and we'll take a look at it.
All right, cool. I'm all for it.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see. Anyway, so yeah, the S&P today we're bouncing nicely off of this bottom that we made this morning. Trying to look around and see if there's anything that we have imminent in today's session. I do, again, like in the sixth hour today, we may have something that's important. We've already done. We tried to get long at 21 or 20 earlier for this very advance, and we missed us by about a point. They've advanced, and we're now waiting for another signal, likely a short signal if they get up to a little bit higher here in today's clearly what's going to be a trading range, a large range, but still sort of a trading range type of market. Let me check and see if there's anything else while we're talking here that's really standing out. Nothing in particular. I had mentioned also last week that although it wasn't a reflected wave bottom, that we expected a bounce off of August 19th, plus or minus a day on the low side here. This today is a 1 day late. We've had a little bit of a bounce. This may turn into something more than that, but one of the things that I'm looking for, and I mentioned this last week, I want people to remember, is that August 25th is important to us. If we were, well, let's do this. Rather than if, then it right now, let's let the market get a little closer to that date, because there will be a powerful reversal and a very good multi-day move off of that. So off that August 25th. So, Bert, we might be doing one of the free trades with you on that date for the S&P. Yeah, plus or minus a day, right in that time frame. So,
okay.
I'm looking forward to that. Anything interesting on your side, Bert, that you can report on the program here?
No, gold. I mean, that seems to be a highlight on everybody's view board. Honestly, it's been pretty quiet on my end.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's pretty quiet.
Dwayne, what were you about to give us?
I was just going to say, did we ever tag 1900 this morning, Bert?
No, we got close, but that's we should. You'll have an hourly buy signal if we take out today's high. Once it gets through 1897, we'll tag that. Next resistance point in the gold would be 1920, if it stays on the path that it's on.
So the high today was 1898.60?
Correct.
Okay.
And I think if you see an 1897 print this afternoon, it's going to go through that high and challenge 1900. And then your next resistance point above that is 1920. And so on, and so on, and so on.
Oh, right. There's always going. Another level, right?
Yeah.
Huh.
So.
No, that's great. They're having a great run. I didn't check silver. Do you know where silver is as well, Bert?
Yeah, 43.26, up 80 cents.
Okay.
And that got as high as $44.
What month are we in on silver, Bert?
We'll be in September until the end of we'll be in September till the end of August, and then we'll start the rollover process to December silver.
Okay.
All right, here's silver up on this big screen, right there.
There we are. Yeah, nice continuation move.
Mm-hmm. High 44.09 today.
Yeah,
that's good. Now one of the things that for people who follow news, people who are interested in tying the news to markets, it would appear to me, and I'm not a news guy, so just forgive the ignorance if I sound like I am, it would seem to me that what's happening in Libya is actually a release of tension. It's not a more buildup of tension, so to speak. It's, you know, here's this guy that we basically came close to being in a war with, but there's a lot of other people handling the rebels, as an example, and, you know, we're backing them to a certain extent. And it looks like it might be his 42-year regime may be crumbling. That seems like that would be good news in the sense that it's not another piece of bad news. And I would think that the markets might like that. Maybe that pop-up this morning was related to that. How do you see that, Bert? And if that is the case, isn't that one piece of bad news less and doesn't, you know, I'm thinking about our gold position. That's one of the things that has been, in the background, that's the unsettling things that keeps gold on the boil. That looks like that's actually reversing.
Yeah, I would say that's, you know, you take one piece of uncertainty out of the equation, then yes, actually that would be a little bit of a negative aspect.
For gold.
For gold specifically, but I think, just think the continued weakness in the dollar and, you know, the debt woes and that seems to be more on the front page of the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are just eyeballing that more than the Libya thing. But you're right. That actually is one little uncertainty out of the market, and that should be a little bit bearish for gold. But,
yeah,
you know, gold and silver are an emotional market. I've said that before, and when it gets going, it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't seem to care, you know, what the news is. It just gets parabolic and just goes. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of momentum.
Yeah, no, definitely. Let's take a quick look around at some of the other markets today. We're starting the week of August 22nd, and so far the euro has been very quiet. I mean, it's had a decent little move up and down today, nothing real big. And they're still technically inside the uptrend off of the August 18th or 19th bottom. So we're watching for that because we have a forecast for this market that originally looking for a July 25th top and a very sizable decline, which they had about a 500 pip decline off of that. And then the next big date was the week of August 22nd, which we're in right now. We're starting the week of August 22nd. You know, I just want to pause on this real quick. Think in terms of interest rates. For those of you who are considering, you know, purchasing something on time, whether it's an appliance or a car, or especially a home, we are challenging, from what I can see, all-time highs in the bond market. We're very close to challenging the highs that were made in December of 08. And so it's possible that those interest rates will be taken out, but I would seriously look, if I were you, and I've mentioned this before, but we are really close to all-time highs where there could be a pretty powerful reaction in the bond market, which would then send the prices of the bonds lower, and that would send interest rates higher. So if you're interested or thinking about your refinancing of a house, I would be very seriously suggesting to you that you get that done in a pretty prompt fashion, because you can. I have a friend, actually, Dwayne, it's Chris Olson,
okay,
who has a house that he originally purchased. It's a pretty decent sized home. And he has never refinanced it, and I think his interest rate may have been up at 7%. Now, that is a huge difference if he can refinance that and get it at, say, 4 or 4.5%. That would save him just thousands, I think, a month, or a lot anyway, a huge amount of money a month. So I just want to tell you that I went through this myself, because when I first moved to Boulder City, Nevada, the house that I bought had a second on it, or I can't remember the details, but one of the notes was at 20%.
Wow.
And from the interest rates that had been high in the 70s or whatever it was that happened back then. And so when I refinanced that much later down at, say, 6 or 5%, it cut my whole payment more than in half at that point, because I've been paying on it for many years. So it really made a big difference. And so consider that. I won't hammer it anymore. I just want to tell you that interest rates, if they're based on the bond market is very close to all-time highs here. And if that is the case, then you would want to be getting that done soon. And you could probably save quite a bit for those of you who have homes that that you're planning on staying in or planning on purchasing. You can really negotiate a good rate right now, I believe. Is that not the case, Bert, or are you seeing it the same way?
No, it's cheap out there. Money's cheap, if you can get it.
Yeah, if you can get it. I think the new credit rating, I think 500 is the new 700, because so many people have walked away from their homes, and their credit rating got trashed because of that, and they can go to people and say, well, look, my credit rating was really good up till this point, and then I had to walk away because the value was so, you know, upside down. And I don't know if that's working or not, but, you know, I'm seeing that myself out there in various things that I'm involved in, that there's a lot of people that have that hit on their credit rating. And then you have to make the decision whether you're going to do business with them based upon their very good credit rating prior to them walking away, as the walk away was a one-time event and everyone can understand it, and that they're really pretty responsible people. And so I have one of those people You know, I'm involved with one of those people because I have a rental property, and I decided to do it because I could see that her credit rating was excellent prior to the housing thing. She did walk away from a house that did trash her credit, so her credit rating's at in like 500. I would never want to do a deal with somebody at that level, but now I'm considering, and now I just did one because I know that she had excellent credit but for that one event. And I'm wondering if other people or other vendors or other people that are doing business are starting to consider that, and starting to consider that 500, in a sense, if they had a good credit rating before, that they might start discounting the one-time walk-away. And if you are trying to finance something, use that in your favor, because it worked on me, and it does make sense. Here's a person with good credit rating. If you had a good credit rating and you walked away from something, and you go in and want to do a deal with someone that's based on credit rating, even a car loan, you can make a very valid argument. Look, my credit rating was, this was, you know, 680, 740, whatever it is. Prior to all that, that's good credit. And but for this one-time event that I was forced to do, you're dealing with a guy who cares about his credit, and I do care about my credit. That's an argument that you can very well make, and it was made to me, and it was a very persuasive argument. I checked her credit rating on three different things, and it was all the same. She had excellent credit right before she walked away. And do you really want to use the walk away to say that this person, that she still has a job, she still has payments to make, she still has all these things? Well, that same thing could be true of you. So don't be afraid to negotiate if you do want to do some kind of a deal that involves borrowing money, to go in and say, I want to plead my case before you, because I'm not that guy. I'm not really a 500 guy. I'm a 740, but for this one event. And they may say, well, that's true, and we understand that, but that's what the score is, and we go off the scores. But if they want the business, they will seriously consider, and I'm starting to think that many people are starting to consider this whole new wave of people that want to do business, but they have lower credit ratings now because of a one-time event, and that prior to that, their credit was good. And I think that, that if you are in that position, you can and should make that argument and see if you don't come out ahead because of it. So that's a little suggestion for you.
I think it's a good idea. Very good
advice. Yeah, I think it is a good idea. She made a great argument to me. She just laid it all out in front of me. Here it is. You're doing business with this person, and but for this, now you're looking down here and look at the score, but this is who I am. This is who I've been for the last 10 years. And I said, you know, that actually is a really great, that's a good argument. I can't argue with that. And unless I want to pin you down on this one-time event that happened to everybody because of the housing crash, this is who I'm dealing with. I'll let you know how it turns out. So, over time here. Anyway, let me take a look at a few other markets here. So the bond market is very, very high. That makes interest rates very, very low. Gold is 1887 right now, or somewhere near there, way up there. And happy to see that. Let's take a look at anything else. The euro, this is the week that we've talked about again, the week of August 22nd. Very kind of relatively little movement. I've mentioned before that the price, the natural price for this week is 144.68. The market did advance to that last week. They got up to a high of 145.12, and then they closed below 144.68. So this is the on-time week for a high based upon what really is going to be a roadmap when we get a little further confirmation. It's also a reflected wave weekly top as well. This week in the euro, the single currency, not a pair, euro. And so we'll watch how this plays out a little bit further. If this week were to have trouble with the 144.68, which is, again, a natural level for them to touch, and they touched it on the 1 week early, if they have trouble touching, if they touch that again and we close the week below it, that's starting to be bearish. Because if they can't close above that level, even on a daily chart, it starts to really imply that the new force that's at work on the downside would come into play. I think it's smart to wait a little bit and give them a few days here. Let's see what they show here. You can be aggressive with it if you want, but for my deal, because the move we're looking for is an initial move of 400 pips off the then current high, a bounce, and then a continued move of an additional approximate 400 pips, total of close to 800 pips, a big, big move. So there's plenty of time. There will be plenty of time to get in. and for those of you who were at Reflected Wave Seminar, to sell short against any of the advances, counter-trend advances that they put up on the way to sharply lower prices. So that's where we want to take advantage of this. Those of you who are not Reflected Wave and are using Dwayne's stuff can probably do the same type of thing, you know, different in his world, but still get in to a position based upon this call, just using a different methodology, not necessarily timing it the same way, but putting it the position on in a proper place to take advantage of the next leg down. So there's plenty of room, I think, on the downside if the market confirms here. So, boy, and time just flew, too. It felt like, you know, the last 5 weeks has really gone by quickly because we started out with July 25th, and I thought, well, August 22nd, that's a long time, and here we are. This is it.
David, so, could there be a point where you thought maybe that euro currency would invert?
Even if it inverts, I mean, this is an absolute, but in most cases, when a market inverts, it will still give us a reversal of 400 pips, even
right.
if it intends to okay. subsequently invert and go up 800.
Right, it gives you that initial advance.
Yes,
the
initial decline, you know, the initial right. move that we'd expect. The larger the time frame you get on, the less likely to us an inversion appears. But we have to be careful with it because it can happen, and that's why I want to wait a little more for a little more confirmation here on this. When the move is as big as this one has indicated, there's plenty of time to get in a market based on, like I said, pullbacks that are going to occur in that downtrend. So let's see if there's anything else here I can cover. Silver, of course, being up higher today. I didn't get a chance this weekend to do a lot of just looking at markets that we normally do, so I don't have as much to report except the stuff that we've that we knew that we were going to cover today. Let's just see here if there's corn. Dwayne, is that little stalk of corn still growing in your backyard?
It is.
Is it really?
It is.
That's great. Does that mean that it'll turn into corn that you can, you know, grow and eat?
David, I have 130 acres of corn that I can eat. I'm not going to bother that one little stalk in the backyard.
Well, good answer. That's well done. So what is the answer to my question, though, other than your gratuitous information? What does that mean? Does corn, if you plant it, will it turn into a stalk of corn and that you can eat?
Yes.
Okay, well, there you are.
That's what you're asking, is if you put a kernel of corn in the ground and water it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that one will. That's the case.
Rain makes corn. Corn makes whiskey. Right? Ever heard that song, Dwayne?
No,
I haven't heard it, no.
No, I don't think so.
It's a country song. Rain makes corn, corn makes whiskey. Whiskey makes my baby get a little frisky.
Oh, that is funny.
Is that a Hank Williams?
Come on!
That's good.
Is that a Hank Williams song?
No, I forget who sings it, but my wife and I listen to a little bit of country, and it's in the background.
Funny.
Kids get it. The kids even start singing it. I couldn't resist. I don't know. I heard it. I had to go with it. All right.
That
I'll shut
is
up
funny.
Go back
and... No. You're fine. That's good. I love your sense of humor. I think for the markets, because we didn't get a chance to really look, there's not a lot other than the stuff that we've been looking for the euro, and I'll get some indications that we can do for the euro by tomorrow, like if they fail here or if such and such happens, you can go short or whatever. We'll start putting that together. And I think that right now for the S&P, that's everything that we've got underway here. We are looking again for a September bottom in the S&P, so let's let them swing around here a little bit. There probably, for us, will be another... There may be a roadmap a little bit later today, but I don't have all the details for it
now.
So for subscribers, they'll get a chance to get it.
This euro chart that's up here, it's a four-hour chart, which I... put this on a four-hour chart only because a lot of the Forex people tend to favor four-hour charts. And we can see the high here from that you were just referring to.
Uh-huh.
And the subsequent low and then the rally. And then we got this little pivot low right here. So I put this line across here. Now this is one of our weekly zones, 43.60.70. So if this thing can take out this low here, then we have another level that's down here, just below this swing low. But a pretty conservative trade if somebody was looking to take, you know, just a bite out of this move down that you're talking about. If they just looked at, you know, this area here, I mean, that's a really nice trade. That's, what is that, 90 points?
Yeah, no, that's definitely worth trading for.
You know, times 1250, whatever that comes out to be.
Yeah.
And so with your, if this is in fact the high, then the,
Well, the initial move down off of the August 22nd weekly top would be approximately 400 pips off the then current swing high, the price high at that time, and a bounce off of that, and then a continued move down totaling approximately 800 pips.
Okay, so this is very similar. This is the on-time week, so then in fact this 1 week early, I mean, that we don't know. We could see, you're saying we could see.
Well, this is the on-time week.
This is the on-time week here, okay.
Right. This is very similar in many ways to the S&P call that we made for the top on the 17th at 12:06, a 24-point decline, a bounce, and then a further decline. It's the cycle that's running is very similar here to the one that was running in the S&P. So the numbers are different, but the background cycle that's operating here is very similar. It's actually larger in the euro than it is in the S&P. So that's why we're excited about it. And we're just, you know, we're waiting to see a little bit more confirmation to get in. And Dwayne, your idea would be just a dandy way to start it up as well. And just understand that the market usually is tricky before bigger moves get underway. So I'm not overly anxious because usually it's going to be at some point really obvious that the move is underway. And if I can't get on at that point, I can also get on during advances, because one of the things that Reflected Wave does better than anything that I know of is it'll call a top in an existing downtrend. So as the market's declining and has a fast counter trend advance, it'll select the exact price bar that that advance will end on, giving you a place to short the market. Quite often those advances will retrace quite a bit of what the move had done initially, very much like what the S&P did here by getting up to 1206, give you a nice entry for, if you wanted to short it, to trade down on the downside. A number of the institutional traders that we have did trade this move, and in spite of the fact that we haven't had a trade for the institutional guys for about a month and a half, this definitely satisfied the this covered some ground for us, you know, made them happier with us, because they weren't happy before, because they don't like to wait around for trades. But I don't like to give out losing trades, so, you know, we wouldn't make a good marriage together. They want lots of trades, I don't want to give out losing trades. Those two ideas may not work that well together. And
Jeff,
I'm very comfortable.
Jeff asked if this will become a Burt free trade.
Yes, this will become a Burt free trade.
In other words, Burt's not allowed to participate. It's a Burt free trade.
Burt free, that's right. It's totally free of Burt.
Guys, call Burt 866-928-3310, and that will get you on the list.
Yeah, and then you can take, what we do is we send the trade out to Burt, and then he will put together either an options position, which will completely limit your risk to the price that you paid for the option, which is a beautiful thing, or he may take it on a futures position or some mix thereof. But he's looking to make sure, after the trade gets set up, he's looking to try to put together a low-risk version of the trade. Even if it either is or isn't trying to go for the full move, he wants to get in, like we do, at a point where the probabilities for counter-trend movement against our position is less. And on a move of this size, you'll have to trade. You're not going to trade with 1.5 ticks of risk or something, obviously. We're going to have to, you know, be able to withstand some risk. And if we're right about it, then the reward could be substantial on the downside. For many of you, this could end up being the largest trade you've taken in either your whole time of trading or in quite some time because of the size of the cycle. So, and you know, it's funny, isn't it? It's here we are. at the start of this, just like we were last week or whenever at the start of the big decline. We were looking for the 50-point-plus decline off of the August 17th top at 1206. But at that moment, before the move gets underway, you can surely look at it now and say, boy, that would have been an easy trade, can't you? And a lot of people will market their product just in that way. On this program, both Dwayne and myself, we are calling these trades as they really are occurring, so that you, A, can actually have a real chance to trade it, but B, you also will see the fact that even knowing that these things are going to occur or having the very best information we can get to you, it doesn't change the fact that it hasn't actually happened yet, and that you have to manage it like it isn't going to happen as best as you can and be in it, and then suddenly at some magical moment it breaks and the move is underway and you're on it, and then now you have the new problem of saying to yourself, well, gosh, I sure have a lot of profit in this, and now you have to struggle with the idea of whether or not you want to take your profit now or if you want to hold and believe that substantially lower prices are coming. So that's the, you know, the constant torture of the trader, is that there's always something to deal with. That's why you earn your money in this. You know, if you, the people that make really big money, the Michael Z's and others, well, he's extraordinary in his way, but even just ordinary larger traders, they have to put it all together and get it right. And that's one of the reasons why I have found, just for me, that although I can often or sometimes be in right near a high on the way down 50 points like what we did in the S&P here just the last few days, quite often I will not be comfortable enough to do that in the size that I trade. But later when the move is underway, I simply pull back because I know the move is now underway. I have a new additional factor that we had the forecast. We didn't get in for one reason or another, but now the move that we forecast is underway. It's clearly underway. The news is out. The market's boiling. And that's a new factor. That's a new point in my favor. The move is actually underway now. So now, because I don't have the uncertainty of the move even having yet begun, I can now say any important advance that they give me, any reflected wave top inside of an advance, I will sell that and sell that with, you know, very... it's the loosest I'll trade. It's the loosest kind of trading that you'll see me do because I know the move's underway and essentially every kind of confirmation has at that point has occurred. I do give up a certain amount of profit in potential profit in the trade, but I also now can get in with a great deal of confidence because the fact is, I waited for the confirmation, it did come, and now I can get in. The very best trades dollar-wise are the ones where you get in right at the turn, but then you have to, you know, live with the uncertainty for a day or so for the market to wind around to finally making the move that you were expecting. And then on those days when the market starts those moves, oh my goodness, it's a very, very satisfying feeling that you're already in, the move is underway, they're not going to see those prices again, and they have a lot further down to go. You know, that's where you're towel damping yourself dry with, you know, a towel made out of $100 bills. That's just a joke. I don't have those kinds of towels. But, you know, it's a very satisfying feeling, and everybody wants that, but you sometimes pay a price to get that. And so don't be afraid if the market, if you can't get in for one reason or another, once it's underway, especially people who now know how to call a top in a ongoing downtrend when they advance, a countertrend advance, that's the place to sell. And I'm very comfortable loading on those positions, and if they advance a little more, I'm very comfortable adding to my then current position because the move is underway. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this. This is one of those bigger setups that you know, you get excited about it, and then when it starts getting closer to the date that you have to act, it's like uh-oh. But if the market confirms and shows everything that you need to see, then I'm really anxious to get in. And we're at that point now. We're very close to, you know, seeing everything that we would talk about. We have advanced into the 22nd, but we may have a little higher to go yet. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly, so we'll because it is the on-time week, and I was thinking that this was, but now that we've cleared that up, while this is still, you know, just a valid, just some real basic, you know, chart analysis kind of a thing, everyone should... consider the fact that this is the on-time week, so I mean, it could, we could see this, still see something higher and still see. I mean, again, it's the on-time week. So, mm-hmm. So relying on this here is saying that, okay, it came in 1 week early. And that's
yes.
sort of a bold
that's
statement.
That's more aggressive.
That's sort of a bold statement to go, oh, it came in 1 week
right.
early. Well, yeah, well, maybe it did, maybe it didn't.
Right, exactly. If I feel really... What's that?
That's what the stops are for.
That's what stops are for.
There you go.
I was just going to make a really dumb joke, and I'm glad I didn't, so I'll just leave it.
Not you, come on.
I was going to make a silly joke, and I know it's not even good. It's not even funny, but this is how my mind works. If I felt really tired, then this would be the on-time week, because I'm weak, I'm very tired. See, that's not very funny, and that's what's going through my mind, I'm embarrassed to say. I might look like I'm in deep thought, thinking deep, profound, insightful things, and I'm coming up with things that aren't even funny. So I just want to be transparent like Dwayne. That's what I was thinking about for the last 30 seconds. That's who you're dealing with here. Anyway.
Oh, man.
I feel very on-time weak today, or whatever.
Speaking of time, I know you're not a big TV guy.
No, I have a 36-inch TV. I'm not a big TV guy.
Life on Mars, did you watch that series?
No, I didn't. I mean, we were busy the whole weekend if it was on this weekend.
Well, no, I mean, it was in 2008. There were 17 episodes. It's on Netflix now, and it's about I know people are tired of hearing me talk about this. It's about a cop in 2008 who gets hit by a car. He goes into a coma in 2008, but he wakes up in his mind, apparently, in 1973. And
wow.
He's a cop in 73 with a badge and a precinct and a boss, and it is really quite good.
Huh.
So if you ever
When is that on? Oh, that's a Netflix.
It's on Netflix, and so you can... Well, it's hourly episodes, and so there's 17 episodes that were made, and then I guess it got canceled, or they ran out of storyline. I don't know. Probably, you know, probably just got canceled, but the acting, the storyline, the plot... The music's all from, you know, guess what, 73.
What's the name of it again?
It's called Life on Mars. And I'm thinking it might have struggled because, at least at this point, there's nothing about Mars. There's nothing about outer space. Except there's one cop calls him Spaceman because of, I'm not even sure why, but... It's really well done, well written, well acted.
Mm-hmm.
The musical score, I mean, it was songs from 73, you know. So it's just good, and I enjoyed it. I spent a good part of yesterday afternoon watching Speedy on Netflix. Man, you can just watch one episode after another, and there's no commercials. No commercial interruption,
great.
You know. So,
that
all right.
That is great, man.
I'll leave it at that. I'm about halfway through the entire series. I'll finish it up, I don't know, maybe next weekend or whenever I have free time. But to those of you out there who have Netflix, and if you've never seen it, now someone at the very beginning of the show when I mentioned it, they said, Michael Kay said, I watched the original British series, Life on Mars. So apparently this American version was taken from the original British series. So...
Well, and the British have, on so many occasions, come up with TV programs that are so unique in the little angle that they're coming from. Like, as an example, to me, this is so old, but many of the people that actually I met this weekend would certainly know about this, which, as an example, The Avengers, which was the mm-hmm. Steed and Emma,
mm-hmm.
which was a very, very unusual take on the James Bond era, you know, back then. With spies and all that stuff, a really clever, characterful, and very interesting British TV program. If you get a chance to see reruns of those,
love
that
hat.
Would be very... Yeah. Did you see that?
The Hat?
Yeah, you love The Hat, but
I
did you ever
hat.
Watch... I know you
yeah.
love The Hat. Did you ever watch the program?
I did. Mm-hmm.
Did you like it, or is it just...
No, I did. I did like
silly
it.
Silly to you.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good.
No, it was great. They had some really, really great stories in there. Just thinking about, I was trying to go back in my mind to think about them, but I'll tell you a really good scary story that most of your people know, and then I'll go, because I know this isn't a thing about stories and stuff, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway.
Okay.
some of you will know the story. This was from either a Twilight Zone or from a, there was a show after the Twilight Zone. I forgot the name of it, but it was kind of like a continuation of Twilight Zone. I can't remember the name of it. In this prison, they had a bunch of men that were all lifers. So they were going to die in prison. And because they die in prison, they have a guy in there who's a mortician, and he's a guy that's going to take your casket out with you and bury you. And so his job is to be there for when people die. And one of the prisoners makes an arrangement, to make a long story short, he makes arrangement with the funeral guy in the prison to put him, that the next time somebody actually did die, that he would put him in the casket with the dead man.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the morning, the casket would be carried out by the various people and buried. And then later, the mortician guy from the prison would come dig up the casket and let the prisoner out.
Mm-hmm.
So the prisoner would, you know, this was better. It's a risk, but it's a better risk than staying in prison and waiting to die. So every time somebody would die, a bell would go off in the prison. So one night at midnight, a bell went off, and that meant someone in the prison had died, and that meant the plan could now go into effect. So the prisoner, you know, walked into, you know, had access to and walked into that room where the mortician worked and crawled into the casket where the dead man was and closed the casket and laid in there. And later, a few hours later in the morning, he heard all the various people come in and they clamped the casket shut and, you know, nailed it shut or whatever they do, and they carried the casket out and they buried it.
I know where this is going, and
And he buried it. And
I
so,
did not see this.
He's buried underground, and he's waiting for the mortician who made the deal with him to come dig him up. And he's quite sure that that's going to happen. The guy made the plan with him. They had developed a relationship over time. So some time was passing down there, and he could tell by the air that he was breathing that it was getting to be old air. And so he took a match out of his pocket, and he struck it to take a look at his watch. And he decided to look under him to see who it was, and it was the mortician at the prison who had died. He would never come to dig him up because he was buried with him. It's pretty good.
That was pretty good, yeah. Somebody suggested that might have been an Outer Limits.
Oh, maybe an Outer Limits, okay. I don't remember, but I remember seeing that, and that freaked me out. And I thought, man, that's a powerful story.
Mm.
Well, there you are. You see, you get a little something every day here on this program.
Yes.
Anyway, Duane,
yes,
I think we'll
indeed.
Let it go at that. I'll have a little more tomorrow when we have a chance to catch up on all the markets, which, you know, all the movement that we had right into Friday. So for those of you who came to the Reflected Wave Seminar, I want to again thank you and say that I had a wonderful time meeting you. We all really did. This is not just a professional thing to say. We really had a really nice time. It was a lot of fun. And so I'm hoping to hear from all of you. And, Duane, I'll plan on being on the show with you tomorrow, as always. Bert, thanks for explaining the option stuff, and I'll be back tomorrow at 9:30 Pacific time.
All right, David. Thanks so much.
All right. I'll see you guys then. Thanks again.
Have a great afternoon.
All right.
You too. Bye-bye.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day in love with you. With each day.
All right, we got some microphone issues here. There, I think we corrected them. That's going to do it for us today, guys. That's just kind of it. I will show you one thing up here on the big screen before we go. I see we got some new folks here today in the chat room, and so welcome. Perhaps you were at the seminar this weekend, or however it is that you wandered in and found us. We're glad to have you with us. We do this every day, same time, for 2 hours, some days 2.5, some days it just seems to go on forever. But we invite you to come back, become a part of the family. If you have never taken, now we do something entirely different at the opening bell. We have a live trading and training room for 2 hours. Okay, from the opening bell, 9:30 Eastern to 11:30 Eastern. That's very much different from the live radio broadcast. The first 2 hours that the market is open, we are actively trading the market, live in real time, calling out the trade, showing you the entries, the targets, the stops, the reason for the trade, how our indicators work, all of that. So if you would like to participate in that, it's really quite simple. Go to cfrn.net/apply. Or just go to the website, cfrn.net, and there's free trial buttons everywhere. Just click one, and it'll take you to the page where you put in your name, your email address, and you'll be sent a link to join us tomorrow morning. Now, if you have any questions regarding the free trial, what it entails, how it works, what are you really getting yourself in for, call Dwayne, not this Dwayne, but the other Dwayne. How confusing could that be that we have so many Michaels on this show and so many Dwaynes? Well, anyway, 573-224-3366. 573-224-3366. He can answer any questions you have about the free trial. It is free. You get a full 5 days. There's no credit card required. You're able to watch us trade live in real time for 2 hours, 5 days. It's 10 full hours to give you an idea of what we do, how we do it, etc. Now, along with taking our free trial in the live trading room, you also, as an added bonus, you get a free trial of the DT Pro platform. Okay, state-of-the-art futures trading platform. You get the simulator. You get the live data feed. You get to play with our indicators. Now, when I say live data feed, I'm talking about S&P 500 E-mini, talking about the Dow, the YM, talking about the Russell, talking about gold, silver, copper, oil, heating oil, livestock, you name it. If it's a futures contract, and it's traded in the free world, and this includes Forex even, you'll get live data, not delayed, not 15, not 20, real-time data on your desktop, state-of-the-art trading platform, our indicators, and a simulator. Is this the best week of your life, or what? Seriously, cfrn.net/apply. When you get ready to download your demo platform, call my good friend Bert at 866-928-3310. I'll give you that number again. Got your pen? 866-928-3310. Bert is our broker, and he is a part of the CFRN family. Okay? Call him, get to know him. It's good to have family in the business, all right? And that's how I feel about Bert and Leslie. So give them a call. They'll get you set up. They'll answer any questions you have about the demo account, the simulator. They'll also give you all the information that you need regarding opening an account, if you'd like to open an account, what the minimum funding requirements are, what the round-turn commissions are, what the margins are. All of that information, 866-928-3310. The chart up on the screen in front of me, I'll make one final parting comment here. This is our 2100 contract chart. And as the market hit this important level here, okay, had a little short trade right here. The entry on this was at the pullback, 11:32.75, 11:33. There was a little bit of a drawdown, but it quickly made the two-point move, and that's what we look for on this particular time frame and this particular setup. We need a red MA1. This is the CFMA1. It's the backbone of our indicator set. Down below is the cycle indicator, and the cycle indicator basically lets us know what season it is. when do you plant your corn? Do you plant it in the spring or in the fall? Well, here you go. You need red here, and that's your entry. Your risk is 2 points and over, just above the swing high. You can take 2 points, or you can take it until the market starts to do business on the back side of the MA1, and the cycle indicator says it's a new season, turns blue, and turns up. If you'd like to see more of this, learn how it works, how we do it, then be with us live tomorrow morning at the opening bell, cfrn.net/apply. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1 week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.